Amen. There are some people who question whether or not we're really born in the kingdom of God. But we have a birth certificate, and I like to show it off every once in a while, you know? This question has come to me over and over and over again, and perhaps most every one of us, you know, is it really necessary? And so this might be an opportunity to get the CD or the DVD and put it in your library and review it, if you will, for those situations, because you'll have ammunition. It's not an opinion, it's not a thought, it's not a religion, it's not an organization, it is Bible. Amen. Amen. So if you would, if you'll turn to Mark the 16th chapter, Mark chapter 16, starting in verse number 16. These are the last words of Jesus before he ascends up into heaven. It says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they have they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." So these are going to be the signs that will follow them who are the true believers. Amen. Do you have the signs? All right? And then if you turn to 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, verse number 1, Paul is saying to the church at Corinth, "Follow after charity," or love, "and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries." So that argument, well, on the day of Pentecost, what they were doing is they were speaking in another language so all these other people around them could understand what God is doing, is not valid, because when we're speaking in tongues, we're not speaking to men, we are speaking to God. Amen. Amen. And then John, the 3rd chapter, starting in verse number 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, Jesus, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the spirit." Now the word "sound" here in the original Greek, if you went to that word, it would say language. It wouldn't say sound. So, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the language thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now, we can't see the Spirit of God. We can feel the Spirit of God. But there is a sound that is associated when everyone is born of the Spirit, and that is a language that they had never learned. Amen. Lord, we ask your blessing upon the word tonight, God, that you would help us, Lord, identify the true believer, that, God, we'd have a foundation of belief based on your word. Anoint us only you can. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, do you think God knew that people would question who would be the true believer or the church? And what God has done is he has given us evidence within the Word of God that will not change. He doesn't change, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So God made it very plain in his Word there would be signs following the true believer. Now, is this the religion? Is this the church? Or do I look for another? And God's saying, well, it's going to be very simple to identify the true church. There's going to be miracles that are going to happen. There's going to be healings that are going to happen. There's going to be deliverances from drugs and alcohol and other things that you can't take care of yourself. And they would speak in a language that they have never learned. So if you're trying to identify the true church of God, you have to have the signs that follow. And so the problem isn't with us. Their problem is with the Word of God, not with us, you see. The thing is, it'd be very difficult for you and I, or most everyone in here, to be convinced it's not necessary when we've already had the experience, you know? Now, I have shared this before, but it bears repeating. In April, we took about 8 people down to Mexico to minister at Brother Wakefield's church. And while we were down there, there's a little 12-year-old girl who was seeking the Holy Ghost. All she knew was Spanish, but when God filled her with the Holy Ghost, she began to speak in English. It was so incredible. I've heard it happen before, but I experienced it. We all experienced it. The other thing is, Sister Bogner was with us, and even though her heritage is Mexican, she doesn't speak Spanish. But she brought in a message in tongues, and the interpretation was in Spanish. Well, how can those things happen except God is demonstrating, hey, this is me, folks, you know? I remember years ago, our church was ministering in a church in Fond du Lac in August. It was very hot. It was downtown. The doors were open, and the place was packed out. The choir was singing, and I was sitting at the very back of the congregation. We came in late. There wasn't any other seats. And as I sat there, a man walked in, and he looked. And he saw all of these people raising their hands and worshiping God. And so he just stood there for a while, leaning against the doorway. And then I watched as he just lifted his hand like this. And all of a sudden, he began speaking in other tongues. And I walked up to him and I said, "Do you know what happened?" He said, "No, you tell me." And I said, "You just started worshiping God, and God filled you with the Holy Ghost." He never heard about the Holy Ghost. He never heard about tongues. But when you get into the presence of God, hallelujah. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit, you know. And today, more and more people are being filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Because in Acts 2 and 18, it tells us in the last days, God's going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. When I first came into the church, there were people who desired to get the Holy Ghost, and it would take weeks and weeks and weeks for them to get the Holy Ghost, or they would come to the conclusion, "Well, when we go to camp this year, I'm getting the Holy Ghost for sure." Now we have visitors coming in, and if they really have a desire, God's going to fill them right on the spot, because we're in the end times, folks. Now, I know many have heard teachings on tongue, but consider the importance of our birth certificate and how important it is to have good teaching concerning why we are what we are and why we experience what we experience. We all need to have a biblical answer for those who don't understand why we speak in other tongues. So let's take a look at some scripture. Take a look at Matthew chapter 10. And verse number 19. It says, "But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you." So what God is saying, by the Spirit of God, we can speak things that, well, sometimes we never even thought we could speak. We're not talking about tongues here, but it is the Spirit within us that brings these issues to our mind, scriptures that we're quoting that we didn't even know we knew, you know? Ephesians, the sixth chapter. And verse number 18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Well, how do you pray in the Spirit? You're praying in a language that you didn't know, because there are certain things that we need to pray for that we aren't even aware that we need to pray for. Amen. That is a great attribute, you see. If you go to Romans, the 8th chapter, very familiar scripture. Romans chapter 8, verse number 26, Paul's saying to the church at Rome, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities or weakness, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings, and that's prayer without understanding, which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So when we're praying in the Spirit, we're actually praying for some things that we are not aware of, but God, through the Spirit, is able to answer those prayers. I wonder how many times perhaps did God deliver us or heal us from situations that we weren't aware of, but by praying in the Spirit, God has taken care of the things that we didn't even know about, you see. Now, Saturday I was walking back and forth here praying, and I was listening to people speaking in tongues, and what a beautiful and profound sound it is for the church to be praying within the Spirit. A supernatural heavenly language given to us at our spiritual birth, just as the baby takes that first breath and then the doctor pronounces that this is the birth. The same is true when we take in the breath of God, and that's what the Holy Ghost is. It's a current of air, or the breath of God. A continued personal connection with our God. The world doesn't have this privilege, but the people of God have this personal communication that we have with God. And you can have that communication anytime you want. It's the most intimate part of our relationship with God, to be able to speak a language that only He understands, not anyone else. Just God and you. No one else is privileged to the words you speak when you're speaking in the Spirit. It's something that if you aren't taught, you could be afraid of, apprehensive about. But when you understand the biblical principles and basic truths of God's Word, you're saying, that's something I want. I remember being baptized in Jesus' name and not having the Holy Ghost as yet, but I desired it, and I knew, even though it seemed impossible that that would happen to me, I knew it would happen to me, you see. In fact, you can get to the point where you can say, you know what, I can believe it can happen to anybody else, but it can never happen to me. Amen. My old pastor used to say this: when you go buy shoes, you automatically get the tongues. And when you get the Holy Ghost, you automatically get the tongues. We don't pray for the tongues. We pray for the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I never want to take this privilege for granted. When I first got the Holy Ghost, I remember there were words, and it was just amazing to me. But then it took me a while to get back into the presence of God in order to have that experience again. And then I'd have to press into the presence of God in order to get that experience again. But as you develop as a Christian, it seems like it is easier for me to speak in another language than it is in English, because I don't have to think about it, you see. And the same is true for a child. You know, there's a couple of words, daddy, mama, no, you know, those kind of things. But then as they mature, you just can't shut them up, you know. And as you mature, folks, nobody should be able to shut us up. Hallelujah. I hate to admit this, but I remember being in another country and all they were speaking is the language. I don't know if it was Germany or someplace. And I remember walking through the store speaking in tongues because nobody knew whether or not I... Glory to God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14 and 18, I thank God I speak with tongues more than you all. He must have been from south. I recently said I've prayed prayers in the natural that perhaps were not in line with the will of God. And I think all of us have from time to time. But I am always in harmony with God when I'm praying in the Spirit. It's the Spirit of God which maketh intercession for me according to the will of God, not according to my will. A direct line with God, so private that no one else can listen in. When I was a kid, we had one telephone, and it wasn't a private line. It was a party line. Some of you are as old as I am, and you might remember that. You pick up the phone, somebody else was on the line, you know? You have to wait until they were done so you could have a line to call out, you know? Well, you don't have to worry about a party line with God. You know, it is a direct line, and nobody else is listening in. Now, we have all witnessed the irate customer chewing up the server or the sales clerk, and it's very uncomfortable, who most likely didn't have anything to do with the problem, but somebody wanted to vent, I guess, or angry words exchanged between family members who later regretted their rude outburst, or parents who publicly, without mercy, berated their children. I think the worst is if a spouse is putting down a husband or a wife in front of others, because it is very degrading. What power exists in the smallest but most unruly member of the human body is the tongue. More people have been hurt in devastating ways by words that have been spoken that were hurtful, you know, than anything else you could do. It is the power God gave the human tongue, and we have to be aware of the power that each and every one of us have with the tongue, you see. From the very moment of birth of the church on the day of Pentecost, God established a consistently maintained speaking with tongues as the evidence of an individual receiving the Holy Ghost. So every time in the Bible when someone was filled with the Holy Ghost, there is an accompany of someone speaking in a language that they have never learned. So let's take a look at Matthew, the third chapter. Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 7. It says, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And so what we're seeing is there's a voice from heaven that is giving clarity and privilege to those who he's well pleased with. And then Acts, the second chapter. Sometimes I can be intimidated not to preach something that's important simply because I've preached this so many times. But this is our heritage, folks. And this is something that we have cut our teeth on, and it is the basis for everything that we are. So in Acts, the second chapter, verse 1, it is the establishing of God's church. It's the birth of God's church. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Can you imagine when God exhales, there's going to be a wind, you see. And what we are receiving is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What it is the breath of God in us. And so the breath of God was in the upper room, and it filled all of the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, as it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. How do you know? They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. So, verse 3, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues, and the word cloven here means a process of dividing. Have you noticed that tongues have divided us from every other religion? Have you noticed that tongues many times will divide us from family members or even friends? I remember my best man and closest friend, when I told him that I'm in a church that speaks in other tongues, he just refused to have anything to do with me because it is a cloven tongue or a dividing tongue. Tongues like as fire, the Bible said, not fire, but like as fire. And the word fire here in the Greek is like lightning from above or power from above, and it's hat on each of them or dwelled within them. So the mistake that some have made is they feel like only at Pentecost there was a situation in which there were little tongues of fire on the heads of those who were filled with the Holy Ghost, but that's not what it says. It says like as fire, and the word fire means a power that came from above like lightning or a gift from heaven, and that's what happens. We are endued with power when we're filled with the Holy Ghost. We are endued with this power of the Holy Ghost, and Acts 1 and 8, Jesus said, but you shall receive power, dunamis, where we get the word dynamite, power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. But speaking in tongues is not the only sign that we receive when we get the Holy Ghost. We will also manifest and exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, you see. Now, tongues are the evidence that we receive the Spirit, but fruit is the evidence that it stayed with us, you know? So let's take a look at Galatians, the fifth chapter. Galatians chapter 5. And verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And so we find that the fruit of the Spirit is also the benefit of receiving the Spirit of God. Ephesians 5 and 9 says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And we will also manifest the love of God by His Spirit within us. So when the Spirit of God is within us, we take on the attributes, the characteristics, the benefits of our God. John 13 and 35, Jesus said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. There's an incredible love that we experience after we experience the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Now, as Jesus established his church among the Jews, the Samaritans, and the Gentiles, he set a pattern that would remain constant throughout all church ages. First, the Jews spoke in tongues when they received the Holy Ghost in Acts, the second chapter that we just read. Then the Samaritans spoke in tongues when they received the Holy Ghost in Acts, the eighth chapter. So you see the progression. Then the Gentiles at the house of Cornelius spoke in tongues and magnified God in Acts, the 10th chapter. So let's take a look at the 10th chapter of the book of Acts. Starting in verse number 1 of that 10th chapter, it establishes who is going to receive the Holy Ghost. Verse number 1, it says, "There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band." Here's his attributes: a devout man, one that feared God with all of his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, "Cornelius." And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said unto him, "Thy prayers and thy alms," or your giving, "are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtst to do." Now, what the angel is saying is, I know you pray always. I know you fear God with all your house. I know that you give much to the poor, yet there's somebody who's going to tell you what you need to do. Now, this is a Christian man. But yet there was some benefit that he did not receive. And so we find that Peter goes to his house, and if you'll turn to verse 44, Peter has his message all set, but God didn't even allow him to finish the message. It says in verse 44, "While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost." Well, how did they know? "For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God." And then answered Peter, "Can any man forbid water that these should be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So we find that right in the middle of the preaching, God poured out his spirit upon the family of Cornelius, and they got the Holy Ghost just like they did at the very beginning. How do they know? Because they spoke in other tongues. Well, if you got the Holy Ghost, he didn't suggest they should be baptized, but he commanded them to be baptized, because it is the finished work. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." They were breech babies, you know? Normally, you know, you break the water and then you cry, "Abba, Father," or, you know, in another language. And in this case, God was so excited to give them the Holy Ghost, they got it before they were baptized. Amen. I appreciate these scriptures so much, because it just justifies where we are. You see, it's not going to change. Amen. Also, the Ephesians, disciples of John the Baptist, received the Holy Ghost. There were 12 of them after they were rebaptized in Jesus' name, and Paul laid hands on them. They too spoke in tongues in Acts, the 19th chapter, and verse number 6. You know, they had to have more. They were disciples, but they were baptized unto John's baptism, which was just accept the Lord as your Savior. And, you know, they needed to be rebaptized, and when they were, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Clearly, God has established a biblical pattern, and it remains a constant throughout all of the Bible, all of the nations, all of the cultures, and all of ethnic backgrounds. I'm glad that God has not changed his manner or his method. I'm glad that I can trace back my birth, my rebirth, if you will, to the same experience that the apostles had, the same experience Cornelius had, the same experience that the Ephesians had, you see. I got the Holy Ghost just like all of them at the beginning, and apparently at the time of everyone's new birth experience, God has established a common identifier, so there is no question as to whether or not you have received the Spirit of God. And I've had people say, well, I just feel like I've got it. You know, I felt the presence of God. Well, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. I fell in love with my wife before we were ever married. You see, there has to be a consummation. If you look at Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse 21, it says, in that day many will say, Lord, Lord, haven't we done many wonderful works in thy name? And he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. Well, the word knew there is the same word that is used in Genesis when Adam knew Eve. In other words, there has to be a consummation of the marriage. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. So in other words, okay, you profess Jesus, but you were never filled with my Spirit in order to consummate the marriage. Glory to God. Peter said in Acts 10 and 47, in the New International Version, can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Ghost just as we have, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. I'm glad I have the same experience that they did 2,000 years ago. I'm glad that Barbara Sunday night had the same experience that I had 40 years ago, you see? It's a moment frozen in time for each of us. You know, they say take a picture and you have that moment frozen in time for all of your life. We remember the time, we remember the place, we remember the feeling. I remember the design on the carpeting where I was kneeling when I got the Holy Ghost. It is engraven in our minds forever to influence us for a lifetime. However, the Holy Ghost does not render us helpless robots operated by God. Rather, the Spirit lives within us to guide us and direct us and influence our decisions and change our desires and appetites as long as we are willing to allow the Spirit to direct us. Now, we can overrule that. We can simply say, no, I'm not going to allow God to do that. But if we allow God to influence and direct us, he will do that. He will keep us. He will take the temptation away from us. He will give us a desire to live for him because there is a power within us that can override any kind of temptations and situations in our life. So why tongues? The writer of Proverbs 18 and 21 states this issue very well. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. People can give the gift of renewed purpose and life through their spoken words. The preaching can refresh you and renew within you a desire in order to live for God, or it can kill others with the power of the spoken word. So you can either revive or you can kill somebody. There are perhaps people within this room tonight that haven't spoken to somebody for many years because of something that was said. You can kill relationships, you see. It seems that God chose speaking with tongues as the evidence of receiving the Holy Ghost for a reason. When we consider the power God placed in an individual's tongue, it seems logical that God would want to strongly influence that unruly member of the body somehow. And if he can control your tongue, then he can control you. See, I can think back to things that I've said that I wish I could take back, but I can't, because I didn't have control of the tongue. Amen. Especially at the onset of our spiritual rebirth, there seems to be this control that you never, ever had before. Because God knows that if he can control our tongue, then he can control us. Amen. And it seems so logical. How in the world could that happen? How in the world could it be that one moment I'm praising God in English and then in the next moment I'm speaking words that I have never learned? The only logical explanation is God has taken control of your tongue and your mind. I'm just amazed sometimes at the words that come out of my mouth, thinking, God, where'd that come from? And what language is that? And I've gone from different languages over the years, knowing that there is something being accomplished every time I speak in the Spirit. Would you turn to the book of James, please? James chapter 3, verse number 1. This is the tongue chapter, if you will. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. I mean, how can we bless God and curse man, who is made in the likeness of God? Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not be so. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? Who is a wise man and endureth with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So we see that the controlling of our tongue is the greatest evidence of the Holy Ghost that has taken up residency within us. There were people here, I'm certain, that had a foul mouth when they came into the church. Perhaps used the name of the Lord in vain on a regular basis. When I was in the army, it was just common knowledge to swear all of the time. It became a common way of vernacular and adjectives and adverbs. But you know, when you get out of that environment, when you're filled with God's Spirit now, all of a sudden God cleans up your mouth. Hallelujah. You're offended by those things that before you had no problem at all. We're not just talking about speaking in other tongues only, but keeping our tongues from speaking words that hurt and cause strife in other people's lives. James 1 and 26 says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. Now, there's a difference in the gift of tongues and tongues at the sign of receiving the Holy Ghost. I don't know how many people I've talked to said, well, you go to 1 Corinthians and it says not all speak in tongues. Well, no, not everybody has the gift of tongues, but everyone who gets the Holy Ghost will speak in another language. It's a prayer language. Now, something is wrong with our walk with God if we can speak in tongues and later speak negative about somebody in the church. James 3 and 10 said, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? We are constantly trying to keep this flesh in check. And I believe that the best way to do that is to allow God to control our tongue and be filled with His Spirit, seeking after more of God's Spirit all of the time, and it seems like it's so much easier to live for God. We desperately need the influence of the Holy Ghost in our lives in order to be pleasing to God and overcome this flesh and temptations that we're faced with all the time. So we have to continue to surrender our tongue to the Spirit of God. And so as we're praying in the Spirit, we're building ourselves up in a spiritual house, the Bible says, keeping ourselves in love with God, praying in the Holy Ghost or praying in the Spirit, then it seems like we are strengthened and we're not attacked in weak areas any longer. It's pretty hard to come out of a Saturday prayer meeting and then start to criticize people in the church, you know? It just doesn't equate. Because 1 hour, we let God control our tongue and can empower us to control the words that we speak. We have experienced this in our spirit. We need to experience this in the natural as well. God alone is the only one who can control the tongue. Now, on my telephone, I have an app that says if I lose my phone, I can somehow find it, you know. There was somebody here Sunday morning that lost their phone. Somebody gave me their phone, said, I found this phone out in the vestibule. I don't know whose it is. And so I put it in my pocket while I was talking to other people. And I finally went out into the atrium and I put the phone on the round table in there. And a little while later, somebody came to me and says, oh, I found my phone. I am so grateful. I was so desperate. Everything that I have is in that. Did you ever get to that place? You know? Excuse me, I have to look at my phone for a minute. Well, that's fine. But I'm more concerned about losing my connection with God. Amen. Somebody walking in the church saying, Pastor, I don't know what happened, but I've just lost my connection with God. Is there an app for that? Yes. You just walk down to the altar and you raise your hands and you reconnect with God, you see. It's as simple as that. When we get to that place where we feel we've lost the connection, well, you need to somehow reconnect. Maybe you have to pay the bill. Maybe you have to call the company store. But you better reconnect. Because if you don't reconnect in a short period of time, you may never reconnect again. Hallelujah. And I feel like when we come to church, that's exactly what we're doing. We're reconnecting with God. We're keeping ourselves in the love of God, praying in the Holy Ghost, like it says in Jude. Thank God I speak in tongues. Amen. Paul said, thank God I speak in tongues more than you all, you know, because it is something that is supernatural. Amen. It's something, it's probably the only tangible thing of heaven that we have within us. Amen. To reassure us, I'm still connected. Hallelujah. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Amen. Hallelujah. I never thought it could happen to me. It was a Sunday night. I'm telling you, there must have been 50 people around me praying because it was one of those hard cases. And all of a sudden, this language came, and as I exhaled, these words are coming out. And I'm thinking, that's a lot easier than I thought it was going to be. I remember going home later that night, locking myself in the bathroom to see if it worked at home. Because I thought maybe it only happens in church. But then the next day I was driving to my office and I was speaking in tongues. I remember getting to my office and my secretary was outside my office, and I determined on the way home that I wasn't going to tell anybody at the office what had happened. I was going to be cool, you know? And as soon as Helen looked at me, I just burst in tears and said, God filled me with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. We can't keep this a secret, folks. Do you know, there are thousands of people that walk by us every day and they have no concept of the Spirit of God living within us. Hallelujah. The miracle of miracles. Amen. He's transformed me from what I was to what I am today, and he continues to transform me. Day after day, as I continue to connect in the Spirit. Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?